I trust that song is finding a place in our heart. And it would be wonderful that as you went throughout your day, you would begin to sing that song. That would be my goal. That as you're working, you find yourself singing a song and you say, wait a minute, that's our theme song. That's why we sing a song over and over. It gets it in our head. And it becomes a part of us. It becomes a part of our life. Well, tonight, I want to look at a man that loved to share his testimony. Everywhere he went, he opened his mouth, and he had a testimony on his heart. And the scripture said he had a testimony. Do you know who that man is? There is a verse that says he had a testimony. Does anyone here care to guess? Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. And the sermon title is, what is your testimony? What is your testimony? And I want to challenge you this evening of the thought of what is coming out of our life and what is coming out of our mouth. And the testimony that we share is the same all the time. Here's a man that had a tremendous testimony. Verse 5, Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. What a story to say about your life. That my testimony is that my life pleases God. Every choice that I make pleases God. That would almost sound conceited, almost. That I live life so well that I please God. But this man had a testimony. That was his life story. That's what everyone knew about Enoch. That he pleased God. Now, can you just imagine a man living a life to that degree of relationship with God, that God knew that his testimony was that he pleased God. He had a testimony. And my question is to you this evening, what is your testimony? What does the community know about you? When they hear your name, what pops into their mind? When they heard the name Enoch, they said, that man loves God. Everything he does is about God. It was his life's testimony. I wonder if Enoch went to town and never opened up his mouth. And he never talked about God. He went to church and he never shared a testimony. I wonder if it would be said of him that he had a testimony. If he never shared one, do you think it could be said that he had one? I think the answer is no. I think he opened up his mouth, and the words that he said were godly words, and it was a testimony of who God was. Now, we'll look at what a testimony is maybe just a little bit. But I want you to think about that. I think when he went about his community, and when he worked with his friends, and he worked with his neighbors, he was talking about what God was doing for him. He had a testimony. Now, let's look just a little bit more about who Enoch is. If we turn over to Genesis 5:21, I can read you these verses. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He lived to be 365 years. He lived 1 year for every day. 365 years. It's an easy way to remember that. That's a long time. It says his first son was born when he was 65 years old, and then he began to walk with God. And so he walked with God for 300 years. That's a long time to walk with God. And that's exciting to think of a man that lived 300 years walking every day with God. Everything he did was, what does God want? It says he walked with God. How do you walk? If you walk with someone, what does that tell you? You walk side by side normally. I mean, I don't walk after. If I walk with Nelson, I'm walking together with him. If Nelson goes out the door and I follow him, I'm following Nelson, but I'm not walking with him. If you walk with somebody, you walk side by side. And so I see Enoch and God walking side by side, making choices and decisions. And every choice he did was with the thought of what God wants, to the point that it's recorded in the scriptures that he walked with God. And that his life was a testimony that he pleased God. 300 years. What a testimony was going forth out of his life. And I heard another preacher say it like this, that he thinks Enoch and God were walking side by side. And finally God looks over at Enoch and he says, you know, you're closer to my house than your house. Why don't you just come on home with me? And Enoch went home to be with God. That's beautiful. That's a picture of God taking his saints home to be with him. Brother, you're just closer to my house. Sister, you're closer to my house. Just come on home. And Enoch was translated. He did not die. He just walked on home with God. I love that picture. And he continues to walk with God. He made daily choices to please God. We have a few more verses in the scripture to talk about Enoch. Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. This was a new thought to me. Somehow I always thought he just was an old man. But in Jude 14, we have this. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch was a prophet. This verse clearly says he was a prophet, and he was prophesying of the judgment that God was going to bring on sin. And so it goes hand in hand. He was walking with God, but while he was walking with God, he was a prophet, and he was telling people, your unrighteousness, God's going to bring judgment against it. You cannot live like that. That is not what God wants. And everywhere he went, he preached righteousness. This man lived before Noah. And the earth was sinful back then. It says that he was to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them and all of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches with which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. It seems like the earth was terrible. And that was even before Noah's day. And we have Enoch being a faithful man, sharing his testimony. Sharing a testimony is more than just sitting in church and saying, so what's your testimony? Testimony is a way of life. A testimony is a way of life, and testimony also involves speaking with your mouth about your beliefs and about your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. If Enoch walked with God, shouldn't we? If Enoch had a testimony, shouldn't we? What is a testimony? Well, in a courtroom, testimony is evidence. I saw it with my own eyes. This is what happened. It's testimony of the facts. It's a testimony of what happened. I was the first one on the scene, and this is what it was. And so when we share the third definition was a public profession of religious experience. It's really what happened in my heart. It's the first-handed account of what Jesus has done for me. And so when someone says, do you have a testimony? The question is, what has God done for you? Are you excited about God? Do you have a testimony of what God has done for your life? And how do you share that? Sometimes your local ministry may stand up here and say, we'll open it up for testimonies. And I know at our church, everything just gets really quiet. And I've always thought maybe that was for the old men. I think the old men share testimonies, or maybe the ministry share testimonies. But tonight, every one of you have a testimony. If you are a child of God, you have a testimony. You have a first-handed account of what Jesus has done in your life. You have a testimony. And we need to be willing to open our mouth and share a testimony. I mean, I've had people say, well, I wanted to share a testimony, but I get so nervous. I don't really know how to say it. And you know, excuses go on and on. And I think Enoch probably could have had an excuse like that. That, you know, when I get out there in town, I just feel really embarrassed. And I don't really know what people think of me. And so I'm just not going to say anything. But he had a testimony. And he shared it with the world around him. Testimony is more than just words. I'd like to tell you this story. Here about a month ago, I do construction and I was building an addition. And I had my local plumber come in to do some work for me. This man is a godly man, and he's not ashamed to be a godly man. And he walked in on the job, and he began to sing. Opened his mouth up and just sang. Half hour later, he's still singing. And he sang pretty much the entire time he was there working on my job. He wasn't singing the newest and the latest gospel or a country song. No. He was singing gospel solid hymns. Nearer, my God, to thee. He sang it from his heart. He wasn't just whispering it. He was singing. Now, the problem was the customer was sitting right there, and they were hearing these songs. It was an addition. So, you know, we're walking past our customer to go into this addition, and here he comes singing and whistling. He goes out to his truck, and he comes back into the house, and I'm thinking, what is my customer going to think of this plumber? I'm embarrassed. I thought those thoughts. Maybe he should just be quiet. I mean, after all, are they going to think I'm crazy? Some kind of a religious. My customer didn't go to church. My customer thought nothing of walking around carrying a bottle of beer. That was the kind of customer. Every day at 3 o'clock, it was time to get the drink out. And so to have a man singing religious songs, how great thou art. Just as I am without one plea. And he sang that song. And he just went from one song to another. And I thought, what a testimony. What a testimony. I come in past my customer and they said, I love hearing that man sing. It's taken me back to my childhood. And I don't know what their past was. But that lady knew these songs, and I didn't. And I'm thinking, shame on me. I worked there for how many months? And they never heard me sing. Why couldn't I at least sing Someone to Thank? I went to bed that night, woke up in the morning, and I was singing the song that plumber sang during that day. I can't even tell you what the song was. But I was sitting there still laying in bed, and this song was going through my mind. And all of a sudden I thought, that was the song the plumber was singing. That is a testimony. That is a testimony that went forth out of his life, and it influenced me. I have no idea how many other people that man might have influenced. But by his testimony, he was influencing people. Now, on the flip side of that story, suppose my plumber was an ungodly man, as most of my subcontractors are, and the first thing they do is bring in the radio and they crank it up, and they crank it up high. And it's the latest and the greatest gospel country song. And I tap my toes to the music and I get into the rhythm of that song, and you know what? Unfortunately, I might even know the song and sing along a little bit. And the next morning I wake up and I'm singing an old country song. What kind of a testimony would have that been? And I again ask you, what kind of a testimony do you have? What kind of a testimony is coming out of your life? Enoch had a testimony. Do you? There's no saving merit in a testimony. You could stand up here this evening and you could share the greatest testimony I've ever heard. But you know what? If you go out and live your life like an ungodly person, a testimony won't save you at all. Enoch could have had the greatest testimony, but if he didn't walk with God, it would have been to no avail. But he had a testimony, and he backed it up with a life of walking with God. And it was a tremendous witnessing tool. People around them knew that he loved God. What do they say about you? I went to school with a young man. And he told me, he said, my dad is not who he says he is. He said his dad was a hypocrite. And I didn't believe him, because I also went to church with his dad. And his dad was a good Sunday school teacher, and his dad could have good answers, and his dad could share a testimony. I didn't believe him. Until one day, he brought a tape recorder of his dad. He recorded his dad at home. And it was pathetic. His dad was cussing and swearing and yelling. And he was a hypocrite at home. He was a hypocrite at church because he was someone else at home. His testimony meant nothing, because that man was not walking with God. Does our walk with God line up with our testimony? Has God done something for us? Is the testimony coming out of our life of the power and saving grace of God? Are we excited about what God has done? Does our life, is it a testimony of the saving power of Jesus Christ? It's going to affect every area of our life. You know, our driving habits say a lot about who we are. You know, it can make me angry when someone cuts me off or they do something really crazy on the road. And that can be a testimony. I mean, I could lay on the horn, I can make hand motions, I can do all kinds of things. But to a child of God, there's going to be a consistent testimony coming out of my life that my life has changed. Does my testimony, my example, my influence show my love for God, or does it show a love for this world? Just a few quotes that I found about testimony. Is your story is the key that can unlock someone else's prison. You know, there's something about when somebody shares a testimony of what they've experienced in life, maybe a hardship, and how God was faithful in seeing them through. Well, there might be other people here that is experiencing the exact same thing. Another quote, only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into triumph, or a victim into victory. Only God can do that. And that gives you a testimony. When God changes our lives, we have a testimony for him. A few verses I would like to look at. 1 John 5:11. This is the record, and that word record means testimony. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is found in his Son. We have a testimony that Jesus has given his life for us, and it gives us a testimony. Psalm 22:22. I will declare you to all my brothers. I will stand up before the congregation and testify. I like that verse. I will stand up and I will testify of all the wonderful things you have done. Psalm 22. 1 John 1:2. For the life was manifested and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. We testify about it. We testify of the good things that Jesus Christ has done for us. I hope you're starting to understand the power of a testimony. Do you realize how much influence your testimony has on other people? And maybe again, it's not the words, but it's the way we live our life. And people observe how our lives are changed by Jesus Christ. We have a poem that says, a little brother follows me. And we could say, This could be for youth, because youth, we have youth following each other. You have a lot of young marrieds here. And you know, young marrieds, we look at each other and we follow other young marrieds. And we influence each other so greatly. And not only that, but middle-aged people, we influence each other. And I suppose when I get old, maybe there's influence in older people too. But this poem says, a little brother follows me. A careful boy I want to be, a little brother follows me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear he'll go the self same way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whate'er he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says, he's going to be that little brother following me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The bad in me he must not see, that little brother following me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be that little brother following me. Our lives are an example, a testimony of what Christ has done. And there's people following us. There's people that will not tell you they're following, but they're watching and they're making choices every day. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you ashamed of your testimony this evening? Are you ashamed of what Christ has done for you? I trust not. But so many times, as I said, I was almost ashamed of what my customer was going to think about this man singing godly songs. Why? Why would I be ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed to be identified as a Mennonite, as a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed of it? Or are you okay with it to be known that I love the Lord, my life is different, it affects the way I dress, and I'm okay if you think I'm strange because I love the Lord? We need to be okay with that. It's an old story I come across. It says, Evangelist Billy used to tell a story about a Christian who got a job at a lumber camp whose workers had a reputation for being ungodly. A friend, hearing that the man had been hired, said to him, if those lumberjacks ever find out you're a Christian, you're going to be in for a hard time. After a year, the man decided to return home for a visit. While in town, he met the friend who had predicted that he would receive ridicule and persecution from the workers in the lumber camp. Well, asked the friend, did they give you a hard time because you're a Christian? Oh, no, not at all, said the man. They never found out. He was ashamed for what he believed. He never opened up his mouth. He never shared a testimony. They never found out. And you know, that can be your tendency very easily, that we just want to fit in. We're just a little bit ashamed to be identified with the people of God. And we don't want our friends to know what we stand for. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I live my life that way. Turn with me to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How did they experience victory? By the blood of their Lamb and the word of their testimony. They were not ashamed to be identified with the people of God. They spoke up. They said, I love the Lord. I give my life to him. They overcame Satan by identifying who they were. They shared a testimony. Go to verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you have a testimony of Jesus Christ? It's the only way we're going to experience victory. Luke 21, verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands upon you and persecute you, and they're going to do all these things. And it shall be to you for a testimony. It's a verse in Luke that says, you'll need to worry about what's going to happen. because God will be there and he'll give you a testimony. So many times we're concerned about what we're going to say and how we're going to say it. But I just challenge you to live a consistent life and to allow your actions and your speech to show and to be a testimony. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou the partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I am not ashamed. I'm okay to walk with God every day. I'm okay for people to call me strange, because I am persuaded that it's the right thing to do, and it's the only way to eternal life. "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver or gold." And my thought there is, you know, when we say our name, our minds go to the reputation, to their testimony, to their way of living. If I say the name Adolf Hitler, your mind automatically goes to a cruel individual, a man that was ruthless. That was his testimony that came out of his life, a man that hated God. If I were to say Fanny Crosby, of course, you right away think about a lady that was blind, a lady that wrote songs. And there's a testimony that comes forth. We call it a reputation. The things that come out of our life, and we know what that person's testimony is for the way that they live. If I say the man in black, and you're a little bit older, you'll understand I'm talking about Johnny Cash. And he was an old singer that influenced a lot of people. He had a testimony. What about Alan Jackson? Toby Keith? Old country stars. And Toby Keith just died. Toby Keith was a very rich man. He wrote many famous albums. But you know what? He died a sinner. And his testimony was that he did not love God. There was a testimony coming out of his life that he loved to drink, he loved to drive, and he loved women. That's what he sang about. And he is going to reap bitter consequences for those choices. He influenced so many people with the songs that he wrote. That was his testimony. What's your testimony? If I say the name Ron Smith, I hope your heart just wells up with praise and says, "Thank you, Lord, for a faithful brother in the Lord." You know, there's something about that testimony. When you hear that name, you say, "Yes, there's a man that loves God." The name Enoch, he had a testimony in his life. It was their testimony. It was their way of life. We could say it was their personality. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, tremendous men of faith. And because they stood firm and they stood true, they had a testimony. It went out and influenced the king, influenced other people. Because of one person's choice to stand for right, or this group of men, their influence went out and how they changed other people's lives. The Apostle Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. And he shared his testimony. He shared what God had done for him. And he almost changed King Agrippa's mind because of a testimony. What is your testimony? How does your testimony affect the places you go and the things that you do? If you have a testimony that you walk with God and that you're walking side by side with God, would you go to a place that God would not go to? Absolutely not. You see, our testimony, our way of life affects our choices and it affects where we go. It affects the way we dress. We're not ashamed to be called a child of God. And so we identify with the people of God. Is it serious if we have a testimony? If we don't have a testimony? Romans 14:10 says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I liveth, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." It's not too late to begin thinking about your testimony. As long as we still have life, and maybe you reflect on your life and you go, you know, I just don't measure up to Enoch. I've messed up. I'm not an Enoch. And I don't even have a testimony. Well, God is a God of forgiveness. And God wants us to start today. It's not too late to begin having a testimony for God. We can start today. But after our life is over, I have to think of Brother Aram Ast. Some of you know Brother Aram Ast, a dear brother that's been in our churches for years. Was very influential in helping Calvary Church get started. He came out and he was our deacon for a long time. But there was a truck pulled out, you know the story, and Brother Aram's life was over. You know, he can shape his testimony up to that point. But when his life is over, that is his last testimony. Well, how he lived his life, the things that he said will stand forever. We don't have to fear eternity. We can have a testimony. Enoch loved the Lord. He walked with God. He had a testimony and he had a wonderful relationship with God. We can have that same kind of relationship. Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. And I think Enoch's heart was is that people need to get right with God. He saw all kinds of sin. He saw people living lives that God could not bless. And he was a preacher of righteousness. And his heart's desire was that people would get right with God. And he preached and he preached and he preached. And people knew Enoch as a preacher. When they heard the name Enoch, they said, that man, he would preach. He was a preacher of righteousness. And he preached against sin. And he preached about the coming judgment that God was going to bring on this earth. What is your testimony tonight? Turn with me to Luke 16. We have an account of two people that had different testimonies, way of living their life. Luke 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was a poor old man, but he loved the Lord. He had a tremendous testimony with God. And he loved God. And he had lived his life that way. He walked with God. We also have this rich man that had terrible remorse at the end of his life. When we look at this account, you know, the rich man had all the answers. If you needed to know how to run your business, you would go to the rich man because the rich man could tell you good financial details. But the rich man did not have a testimony. He did not have a relationship. His testimony was money. He was successful. He had the biggest business. He had all the right answers. Lazarus didn't, but Lazarus had a testimony. There was a certain rich man in verse 19, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." And between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Terrible remorse. A man that had an entire life to develop a testimony with God, to develop a life with God. And instead, he allowed his business. He allowed the assets of this world to take his love. And he, being in hell, lifted up his eyes. And he was like, please, please, Father, please give me another opportunity. I didn't get it right, but just let me do it again. Please. Remorse. Because he was not ready to meet eternity. Please give me another opportunity. Please go to my brothers. Please, Father. They have the preachers. They have the word. We have the word tonight. And the rich man is still in hell crying, please. Please, just give me another opportunity. Please. He wasn't ready. Is a testimony important? A testimony for God will determine our destiny. Please. I had to think of the old song that said, please, search that book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search that book again before it's too late. There are people that go and sit on the pews and they think they have a relationship with God, but what is their testimony? Are they walking with God? Or is it just a surface religion? Do you know God tonight? Does God know you? Are you walking with God? Or do you know that if God were to call you home, that you would be saying, please? I tried. I sat in church, though I didn't pray. I did all the right things, but I never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that is you tonight, God is still faithful. Today is a day of opportunity. And I would just like to sing another invitation song. That if there is anyone here that would like to get right with God, today is a wonderful day to begin having a relationship with God. A testimony. If God were to call you home, are you ready to meet him face to face? What shall we sing?